Well, welcome. Here we are doing our conversational exposition. My name is Nate. We've got Dave Guzik and Dave Wally here. And we're going to continue on through Exodus, looking at the different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. And so here we are at Exodus 27, looking at the courtyard and the gate.
You spoke a little too quickly. This isn't really a piece of furniture.
I shouldn't say piece of furniture. This is actually the courtyard and the gate.
This houses the pieces
of furniture.
That's right. This sort of sets the perimeter, right? Okay, well, maybe we should read the text.
Okay. Verse 9, it starts off, "You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long, for one side, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Likewise, along the length of the north side, there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits and their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three sockets. And on the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three sockets."
Totally understandable.
You got that?
Yeah,
simple. Sockets. Obviously, isn't this the kind of passage that people read, you and I and others, and they just glaze over?
Oh, yeah.
Sockets, silver, hangings, hooks, whatever. Where's Jesus in the midst of this?
Right.
Well, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about conceptually? What's the whole idea here?
So this is the court. This is what is surrounding the tabernacle, mm-hmm. the altar.
Okay, our viewers right now, they see it, and mm-hmm. it's that white fence. Is that fair enough to call it a fence?
Yeah, it's
that would surround the tabernacle.
Right, the barrier between
okay.
people
now,
and the tabernacle.
It gives some specific dimensions of it here.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it's supposed to be, I'll just translate it into feet, 150 feet long, excuse me, and about 75 feet wide.
It's not really a huge area necessarily.
No.
I mean, in fact, I think we talked about how the actual the tent of the tabernacle, that part was only took up, what, like 1/15 of this entire area we're looking at.
Right,
you know? So not a huge amount of room.
Okay, so what's the purpose? Why mark this off? Why not just have the tent there in the middle of the desert? Why mark it off with a court?
Well, I think one of it is to create that barrier between the tabernacle and the people, so that they wouldn't be approaching the tabernacle, because it's very clear that the Bible and the law is very laid out very explicitly that only the priests, only the priests shall be entering into the tabernacle.
Well, into the tent.
Into the tent.
But who could go into the courtyard?
Well, anybody can go into the courtyard.
Right.
But there's a specific way in which you enter into it. It wasn't like, hey, just come from all sides. There's one specific way that you would go into the court of the tabernacle.
There had to be some kind of preparation of the mind and heart. I am entering into the court of God.
Yeah.
I am coming into his house. Mm-hmm. And it required this sort of deliberate preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that translate something very powerful for the way that people should go to church?
Definitely.
Should go to meetings among believers? That there should be this sense of mental preparation. I am now in God's courts among God's people. I need to just have a sense of focus, a sense of joy, a sense of pleasure. I am here in God's presence.
And it's so true. That's only when you have that mentality and that heart do you get the most out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't get much out of it if you come from the different angles. But if you enter in through that way, you get the most out of it and what it's intended for.
Was it also just sort of a barrier, the idea that this is a separate, kind of a holy place, different place, but also maybe this protection? I mean, you're talking about they're in the wilderness.
Yeah, you don't have animals wandering in and this and that. Okay, but basically what we're talking about is a linen fence. How high? How high is this linen fence?
It says
7.5 feet, maybe.
Exodus chapter 27 tells us that.
Yeah.
Verse 18 tells us about 7.5 feet high. So not super high, but, a fair size of height. And then it was hung by particular pillars. That's how it was hung, by these pillars that went around.
Mm-hmm.
And, we sort of have an artistic representation, a wooden pillar made with a silver top, to sort of be attractive and reflective and solid and all of that. So that's sort of the picture at hand.
Yeah, so it's kind of like just hanging kind of different hanging mm-hmm. different like curtains in a sense, like here, the
pillars. Sort of like that, curtains. Yeah. I mean, it was a linen fence.
Yeah. Right. But structurally sound. It sounds like
the pillars were secure.
Yeah, they were secure.
Yeah. Okay, let's read on. Verse 16.
So now we're talking about the kind of gate. So for the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen, made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. So now we're talking about maybe the actual door into this courtyard we just talked about. Here's this perimeter.
Right.
How are you going to get inside there? A screen, a door.
Exactly so. And so again, we sort of have an artistic representation of what this screen would be like. It's told to make it with colors. We don't know what the pattern was, mm-hmm. but it was something of this idea. You go through, and really you got to say it would probably be visually striking. You've got this white, linen white, you know, fence all around mm-hmm. for like half of a football field. Mm-hmm. But right there at the gate, this brilliant color that would be attractive, that would sort of tell people, come, you're welcome, enter. Here's the gate, you know, right here. Mm. And I just find that welcoming from God to do this.
Now, was there a couple gates, or are we looking at just one gate? How many entrances in?
How many ways were there into the tabernacle?
One.
Or into the courtyard.
Courtyard, yes.
Tabernacle as well, but just one entrance. And that's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why didn't God make a bunch of gates?
Well, I mean, the thing it just translates, of course, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life.
That's right.
No one can come to the Father except through me.
And just like the brilliant colors that we saw in that sort of model's representation, Jesus is an attractive gate.
Yeah.
He's beautiful. Look at him. He draws men to him. Here, come. Here I am. Come through. Now, there's only one way, but God's made that one way attractive and magnetic mm-hmm. to those who have the disposition to go.
And actually, in one hand, kind of large, right? 20 cubits long.
That's right. Long enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to miss it. You know, there it is. But just one way, one way. But you got to come in through that way. Okay, let's read on here. Verse 17.
It says, all the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver, their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, made of fine woven linen, and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for all its service, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze.
Okay, so what we have is each one of these pillars that the fence was held onto, the linen fence, was silver at the top. It made it shiny. It made it visible. Mm-hmm. But then it also had a socket of bronze on a base of bronze. In other words, the fire of refining was there and present with the post as well.
Yeah. So I mean, we talked about the idea of bronze and silver. Bronze meaning kind of judgment, refining. It was an alloy. It took heat to get going. Here, and then the top, though, was this silver. That silver, what was the silver again?
Redemption.
Redemption.
It's always a metal in the Bible associated with redemption.
Yeah. It's really cool. So here we are, all these pillars of bronze on the bottom.
Right.
Weighty, also strong, you know, secure. Silver on top. Really cool picture.
But, you know, the bottom line was, again, it was marking out this place. Here are the boundaries. Here you're coming into the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Prepare your heart. Come to do God's business. I mean, you almost see some priests standing outside of the gate, you know, welcoming people in, but just encouraging them, hey, are you ready to come make your sacrifice? Are you ready to come meet with the Lord?
So with that, I mean, talking about this courtyard.
Yes.
Were people, anybody was able to come in? I mean, and obviously the tabernacle,
okay,
no.
Now, Nate, you're putting your finger on a question I think is very good. I'll be honest, I don't have a direct answer for. We know that later on with the temple, there was a defined outer court, just like this.
Right.
Then there was a court of the women. Then there was a court of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it seems to all be combined into one court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if women were allowed into this court. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, there are references. I'm just kind of doing the mental concordance here. Didn't Hannah, in the book of 1 Samuel, come and bring an offering to the Lord with her husband? And the priests noticed her at the offering. That implies that she's in the court with their... So I think that they allowed women, and maybe even Gentiles who would reverence the Lord, in to make sacrifice, in to come meet with the Lord in the court of the tabernacle. But I think it's really remarkable later on, in the Psalms especially, you find these soaring statements about the courts of the Lord, like this from Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Or how about this, verse 10 of Psalm 84? For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I mean, this is the area that it's talking about. The courts of the Lord, there at the house of the Lord, to come and to commune with the Lord.
And it's so wonderful that in the same way that is open for them in, you know, in this time in Exodus, it's also open for us, for anyone to come.
Yes.
You know, God is beckoning for all mankind to come into his courts, provided they come through the gate of Jesus Christ. But if you are to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise.
That's right, just like it says in the Psalm. I mean, think about it there, using this imagery that we've just talked about. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's it. That's just what you're talking about.
Now, what about like us today, New Testament, after the cross? I mean, we don't really, you know, physical gate, an actual court. I mean, that's something that we actually have today.
Look, we're aware, and they were aware of it in Old Testament times. It's not like God's presence was confined to the tabernacle. It's not like he lived there and nowhere else. Mm-hmm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yet, there was a special place where God said, I will meet with you here. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There are special places. I trust that we call it a sanctuary, don't we? After that model of the temple or the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. The place where our congregation comes and meet with the Lord, I trust that that's a place where God is faithful to meet with his people. Mm. And that we want people to have this recognition that this is a place I can come and God is going to be with me there. I'm going to meet with the Lord. Maybe it stirs their faith, their expectation to say, yes, let us come into the house of the Lord. Mm. That's good. It's a fascinating thing. And so let's keep going on. We'll hit it up next time talking about oil for the lamps and the lampstand and such. But again, it's a precious thing to think about these courts that God has given us.